What's up, boys? Welcome to In the Grip Podcast here with my good buddy AJ. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too many days. We did one in between, but it was a live one, and then I couldn't figure out how to get it on here, so it's been a long while, actually. But we're back.
We're back, and we got two special guests. You can't have one of these guys by themselves, because if you say one of them's name, you're always saying the other one. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
We got two guys, Todd Shoemate and our good buddy Jamie Mudd Knocker. What's up, boys?
How you doing?
Not much.
Here we are in the famous podcast room, we'll call it, I guess, right?
It's just a detached garage, but it's our studio.
Yeah, we call it the studio.
It's the studio.
We love it here. You look around, there's lots of interesting things. But
It's nice to be on. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Well, that's right.
We're glad you guys are here. Hopefully you got some stories to tell us, and let's get right into it. We got let's first talk about the reason you guys are here. You guys won a tournament not long ago, the Scrap-A-Town Classic.
Yep,
we did. Yeah, it was a good tournament.
And we need to get right into that. So tell us what happened.
It was all strategic planning.
Yeah, good.
Todd was our A golfer, our ace.
And his first pick was you, and I'm like, well, that makes sense, because you can't say, you know, Todd without Knocker, Knocker without Todd. So I'm like, well, there.
Well, it was my strategic plan was that I wanted to pick Jamie, because I play with Jamie more than I play with anybody else, so I knew exactly what I was going to get. So as I watched the draft board go, I thought, well, son of a gun, he is going to land right in my lap. And yeah, when his name was still on the board, my pick, it was like, yep, that's the easiest pick I've ever had. So, yep, I took Jamie.
You said you knew what you were going to get, but Knocker goes out and shoots a 33. Did you know you were getting a 33 that
day? Well, I had some inside intel that I knew for the previous 2 or 3 weeks that he had been playing. He had been playing league because he had other commitments on Wednesday night, but he had been playing on Thursday nights, and those Thursday night rounds he had been playing were in the 30s. Like every single night. So I knew he had been playing.
He was trending.
I knew he was trending, as you say. He would have been playing good. So he thought, I'll keep this detail to myself.
Didn't tell any of the other eights.
I never heard any of that.
Share that info with anybody. And that way I made sure I got my boy Jamie on my team, and it obviously benefited real well.
It did.
He was the best pick of the draft by at least two shots.
I got a picture on my phone of all the scores, and Knocker's the one holding it up. So, Knocker, is that 33 the best you've ever shot?
That is. Best round ever, yeah.
So
next closest was a 37. I shot in league one night, but yeah, 33 was the best ever.
Wow. That's quite the jump there.
It felt good.
I bet.
The problem with it is now I'm going to be chasing 33 for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And if I for some reason shoot a 35, I'm going to say, fuck, I should have shot a 33.
Yeah. So
now actually, with that round could have potentially been a 32. I had three birdies and one bogey. No, I'm sorry. Four birdies, one bogey, I think it was. I bogeyed one, birdied four, birdied five, birdied eight, and birdied two.
Birdied two.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a bogey on one, and I was pissed, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Still, that's some really quality golf.
I talked to Todd. We were playing eight. He was coming down seven. He said, "How you shooting?" I said, "I don't want to fucking talk about it." He said, "Oh, well, all right, don't worry about it." I said, "Yeah, well, it's better than that." So, told him, I was at 200 at that time, and when I started that round, I started out with a birdie, and then or started out with a par.
What did you start on?
Three.
Okay.
Par three, birdied four. Birdied five, hard six, and I thought, okay, you know, a couple birdies. Let's just play golf. So then I get into a birdie eight, and I'm thinking, all right, I only got three holes left.
And you're 3 under par.
And I'm 3 under. I can blow up from here on and have the best round of my life. I could bogey every all three holes and finish par.
Mm-hmm. It
would be my best round. So I didn't really think about it. I just went out and hit the ball. And, it worked out well.
That's
best
awesome.
Round ever, yeah.
That's awesome. And timely, too. I mean, doing it in a tournament. I mean,
yeah, and that's when you want to do it, when your A picks you, and then you go out and shoot your best round, you know, being the B guy. We were on six. You all were one hole in front of us. And Miles Kite was in your group, and I went to Miles. I said, how y'all playing, you know, whatever. And he said, shit. He said, Jamie's. He said, who's Knocker? And I said, no, the guy standing on the left side of the ball, the lefty. And he said, shit. He said, that's him. And I said, yeah. And he said, hell, he should be an A. And I said, what is he? And he said, he's 2 under. And I said, oh, I said, don't worry about that. I said, hell, he's a B golfer just like you and I. I said, he'll shoot a 39 or 40 or something. He'll fuck it up.
Yeah.
And then you get, no offense.
No, none taken. But I was, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, he'll end up having a couple bogeys thrown in and he'll shoot a 37 to a 40 or something and then come in and shoot 33. And I'm like, yeah.
He finished it off.
The thing about that, too, if I would have fucked it up and just fell apart, I think we still have been okay. Because if I remember right, we won that tournament by, what was it, seven?
Six strokes? Or seven,
six
yeah.
Six or seven?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell you one thing. What were your all's odds in Vegas?
Oh, exactly. I was thinking that tonight. Look at all the teams that were out there. Who would have picked our team to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you're betting you're going AJ or you're going, you know, somebody who's Potterfield. Potterfield, Seward Noah. Even, Noah.
Well, what'd you guys shoot in the scramble portion?
37.
You shot one over it.
No. We were two or three under. Well, you got the picture.
Yeah, I got a picture.
And then I think we were 3 under, and then I think we were 1 over on the alternate.
Yep, there you go.
And then
okay, 1 over on the alternate. That's really good golf.
My third pick, while he's looking that up, was John Long.
Yeah,
which
John,
again was
yeah
also
he needs
kind
some
of
love
strategic
here. Yeah,
planning as well because I was like, I got to keep somebody that can keep the ball on the reservation. You know, got to keep somebody that can keep it in play and we're not hurt really bad. So that was the reason I took
John's
John.
A good pick for that.
John's a sleeper.
He played great all day. You know, that's what I told him. I was like, John, I just need you to play your normal golf game. I don't need nothing special.
Yep.
If you normally shoot 45, then I need you to shoot 45. And he says, okay. Well, then he come in and says, hey, I did better. And I'm like, awesome. That's all I needed from you. And I 43, 44, something or other is what he shot.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, that's perfect. That's
hit your little left or right cut. Like
yeah.
John Long
yeah.
does.
Yes, he does every time.
And yeah, so it's
the type of guy he's not going to get flustered. He's not going to get upset. He's not going to get mad at himself.
Nah.
He just nonchalantly, you know.
Yeah.
Just fuck
play,
it.
Play
I'm
golf.
Just playing.
You know, like I said, keep it on the reservation. That's what I told him. I said, that's all I need and that's all you do. And
yeah.
That's what he
there
did
was
all day.
More-
so.
Planning to that too. I think Friday night I was at the football game and what you did, we must have texted back and forth for an hour.
We were
trying
plotting,
to figure out
we were plotting our,
where we wanted what player to play on holes.
Yeah. You gotta do that strategy too. Obviously you guys picked the right one there.
Yep.
So yeah, alternate shot one over par with you three guys. That I mean, you guys are just had a game plan and stuck to it and it worked.
Yep,
that's pretty awesome. Well, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun to play that format where everybody counted and John kind of first. I think that's the first time he played on it. He picked up on that pretty quick because he was like, "Wait a minute, we're at a point where all of our shots matter." Yes, John.
Yes.
Everybody should. We can't rely on one person. So I said, "That's kind of the drafting that I kind of went with, and that's what we got to do now going forward." And luckily, we did that day. We had it all going. So,
I think we've had a lot of good tournaments after the course this year.
I did too.
We had some new ones.
Yeah.
We brought back the Bubba.
Yep.
Doing another 3-man. All of them been good. All of them been fun. I mean, all of them been fun unless you're from Salisbury. They're not fun. But
yeah, those guys. is that where they were from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for the donation, you guys. I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to ask, we got Mosswood 3-man coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's you two, and then what'd you do, pick up John Long, or who's the third?
It's
still undecided.
It's unknown right now.
Uh-oh.
Gosh dang, I kind of want to get on that team.
Yeah.
One of our guys that played with us last year, we told him. We didn't even ask him. Todd got all their entry forms for all the tournaments this whole season. Filled them all out before tournaments even started.
Like, and the day they came out, I turned them all in that exact same day, basically, to Randy and said, here, we're in all of them.
Yeah.
We'll put names down here now, but we might alternate. He's like, that's fine. I said, here you are. We're in them. So we got in everything.
Yeah, we told
just yeah, on. I wish everybody would do that.
Yeah.
You know?
We told Jim Fulton, said, you're playing 3-man with us again. He said, I am? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, our third, Jim Fulton, and a lot of you might know, he got in the wreck out of Ohio racing, and he's got some problems with his hand right now. So he's told me and Todd to, if we can find somebody else, just go ahead and do that. He's just unsure if he can swing a golf club and be consistent and not be in pain. So
right.
We're kind of up in the air. We've got one picked, and he might be coaching a football game that morning. What time does that tournament start?
Good question. Yeah,
I think 8 o'clock is what the Flyers.
Yeah,
so
not even sure.
Yeah, we got to play 27, so we got to start as soon as we can.
Yeah. We could play two of us just for the first couple holes. I mean, you don't want to shoot too good at the beginning, anyways.
Yeah, the honest way of sandbagging.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, we're just gonna play two.
Well, the way you two just played that last tournament, I mean, you guys might find yourself in championship fight.
Might fuck around and go champ.
Yeah,
because. Also, don't forget that Todd has shot 34 in men's league this year.
I'm playing good golf this year. Yeah.
All right. So let's dive. So, was that your best round?
Yes.
So 34. You shot your best round this year. Something's going on there. I know you have a simulator at your house.
I do.
And you guys live close together, right?
We live about a half a mile from.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you're spending some time out there also.
Yep.
Do you guys think hitting those extra balls on that simulator might be,
No doubt about it.
No,
I mean,
it improves your game.
Anything you do, repeating over and over and over and over again, as long as you do it right, or at least fairly right. I'm not saying I do it right, but
right.
I do it right for me. I can repeat the same golf swing, I feel, a lot more often the same way, the same swing over and over again now. So I think I am more consistent with golf. I can practice distances. We're playing a tournament tomorrow, so I've practiced some distances that I don't ever play, but I know you might put me at those distances tomorrow when we use your drive in the tournament we're playing in tomorrow. So am I great at those distances? No, because I haven't practiced them enough. But I have in the back of my mind said, oh, no, I need to practice some different distances because AJ's going to put me out there in some spots I don't normally play for. So I think, yes, the practicing is made an impact.
So,
yeah, I hit on it a lot. Not a lot. I hit on it quite a bit. But, I get drunk and see how hard I can hit the ball.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, you're hitting the ball. You're getting feedback every single time. It's almost impossible to not get better, right? That's the way I feel about it.
I would agree with that, yes.
And, man.
And you also learn the difference between how the course really plays and how the simulator plays.
Right.
You know, I get a lot more roll on the course than I do on the simulator. So I've learned that these are carry distances. Not total distances.
Right.
So
knowing that is huge.
And that's been pretty beneficial. You know, okay, that flag's 150, but if I hit it 140 and it rolls out that extra 10 yards, then I should be in pretty good shape. And right. So I've swung enough at the 140 yardage that I know what to swing.
Right.
And then try to replicate it. Do I always do it? Nope. Sure don't. That's
right.
Why I said I go to work on Mondays.
Yeah, we are amateur golfers.
We are amateurs. That's right.
I even took it another step, too, and I got a yardage book.
Yep.
Jotted down all my clubs, how far they go, what they carry, 100%, 80%.
Yep.
And I really remember it working well. We was in Spirit Hollow playing the alternate shot, and it was me and Aaron Benson playing alternate shot. And particular shot, I don't remember how far it was or anything, but I'm standing there with the book, and he said, let me see your book. And we're talking about the wind, and he said, yeah. He said, according to your book, he said, go with the 5-iron. I said, okay. So we went with the 5-iron, and it worked out great. Just dropped it a whole high, 5 feet or so.
Yeah.
But it worked out well, yeah. Hitting on those are definitely a plus.
Yeah. So everybody listening, Christmas is coming up. Thinking about what you want for Christmas. I know what I want.
Me too.
Yeah. And yours is the Skytrax.
Yep, I have the Skytrax.
And yep.
Yep.
And it's called. And you have it set up as a simulator, right? It's not just a launch monitor.
Right.
Simulator. So.
Yep.
You have it like garage or.
Yep. Yep. I built a garage specifically for it, more or less. I mean, there's the garage can function as something else, but yes, I have a separate detached garage that houses that simulator, and it's there all the time. So
I'm glad he put that up too, because there's several times in his garage, it's on his house. Yeah, I think I've probably should replace his garage door opener because I've hit it a couple times with my driver. I've hit the rails where the door comes up and got a big gouge in the top of my old driver.
Yeah, we had some moments, but
yeah. Well, hey, that will happen.
But now we're good. Now we got a nice big area to hit in. So,
well, that's cool. And so all winter long, you can hit balls and you're starting over when the season starts.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's important. I mean, golf's funner when you're playing your best. It's no fun when you're trying to figure out shit all the time. And yeah, that's awesome. You guys got that.
I've enjoyed it. I've definitely hit more golf balls now than ever. There's a lot of evenings I go out and hit even just maybe 25 golf balls.
Right.
But even just hitting 25 seems like it's nice to stay loose, stay in a rhythm, opposed to waiting 3 or 4 or 5 days before you swing a golf club.
I noticed a big difference on your ball striking consistency. You don't get a fat shot hardly ever anymore out of you.
Right.
Oh, they're still there. there was a couple there tonight. So, but yeah. So, my question is, when are you guys coming out?
Yeah, I mean, I guess tomorrow, then the next day, and then the next day. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah. We got to get out there. We probably should have just done this podcast out there.
I told them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told them, I said, it's probably actually closer for AJ to go to Todd's house than it is here.
Yeah.
We definitely can. So,
well, that's cool. I'm glad you invited us. We're gonna take you up on that. That
sounds good.
And see what it's all about. Swing hard, drink a few beers while we do it.
Yep.
Here we go. All right. You kind of threw Spirit Hollow in there. Every year we go on our trip, and you guys are involved. Next year our captains are Griff and Trav, right?
Yep.
I was thinking, how would you guys feel if you guys got thrown in there as the two captains?
I'm going to tell you, because these two will be captains at some point.
Yes.
So, what's your all's thoughts? What would be?
I don't know. What are you putting us against each other?
Yeah.
You're going to be against each other.
Right. He was against Grant.
That's right.
So, we got to do that. We got to pin the friends against each other every now and then.
I'd have to take a look at the roster, though, and see who all is going to be on.
But would you guys enjoy that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot of strategy, and, you guys can shit talk, for pretty much a whole year once you find out that you're going to be the captains.
Absolutely. It would be. It would be cool.
Well, I don't think we're in charge of picking captains, but
no.
But it would be a good pitch.
Yeah, we're gonna plead our case. Maybe next year when we're on our way home, we're at B Dubs.
B Dubs,
Yeah.
I think we're gonna take more this year. I think we're taking 4 more, maybe. But
yeah, I think we're jumping up 24.
So. Me and you and Ryan and Michael have a little group text, and they were saying that come December, January, we're gonna have to have a meeting over here, and maybe after we get done with our meeting, deciding who's going or whatever, we have a pod afterwards and get to talking about it when snow's on the ground. That way we can think about something positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, that trip is – I've only been on it 2 years, but, man, that is by far the funnest golf time I have throughout the year. I mean, everybody knows I get drunker than hell and can't really stand up, but –
what did you say to AJ this year?
AJ, I mean
– So Ryan Watson wanted me to bring this up.
So we started. Was that Saturday? Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday.
So Saturday, we started golfing at. Let's say we started golfing at 7. I started drinking at 7:05. So we're drinking some beer. We come back around. And I think I don't want all this beer, so I'm switching to something else. So I decided to go with DiSerrano and Coke, something more lighter.
Well, it was cold.
Yeah.
It was cold that day.
It was.
Yeah, you needed something to kind of help the blood flow.
Drank them all day long, and I was really all right until, the last two holes of alternating shot. And then I think it was Jeremy Moss that slipped Crown Royal or something into my drink. I mean, I opened the lid for him, and he slipped it in there.
Yeah,
snuck it in. So
I remember this a little differently, but anyways,
you do. So, anyways, we get done golfing, and I'm sitting there at the I'm sitting in front of the fire with my shoes off. I'm damn near passed.
He was. They're at the clubhouse where they have a fireplace. Yeah. He took his shoes off and just cozied up.
They were soaking wet from the rain, the wet grass.
There's a Euchre game going on right by him, and he has no idea.
No, I had no idea.
This is even the other fireplace where we eat.
Like outside?
No, right there. You know where they have their Shankopolis. Right there. So there's other people around or whatever, and he just made it, you know. I made it like at home. Yeah.
I was in at the lodge. Yeah. I felt like one of them guys on Caddyshack. I thought Judge Smells was going to walk through and say, "You guys ever go home?"
Yeah.
So, anyways, I don't know. Something came to me. I got up and decided to go outside, and I don't know what I was doing. But I know that... story I hear is Ryan and AJ and them are going to do something, and AJ walks off and he's gone forever. Come to find out, AJ found me out wandering around out in the parking lot. And he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for my keys, I guess."
You were looking for your keys. Now,
AJ can fill it in because I don't remember all of it. He's telling me stuff I don't remember.
I think
he's lying, actually.
Yeah, no, he was looking for his keys, going through his golf bag looking for his keys. And it's one or two. Either I saw him pull his keys out of his golf bag and put them in his pocket, or I saw him pull the keys out of his pocket and put them in his golf bag. But he's looking, and he's getting pretty upset that he can't find his keys. Reverend, I told him, I said, "Hey, look in your bag or look in your pocket again, whatever one it was." And he said, "No, I already looked there." So I'm just sitting there watching him. I thought it was pretty funny. I mean, and sure enough, I finally convinced him to look again. And he found him, and he just thought, I don't know if you thought I was a genius or he was pretty happy I was there in that moment.
The question really is, why were you even looking for your keys? Because I drove you up there that day.
No, you didn't. I drove that day.
Did you drive?
Before.
Oh, yeah. All right. My bad. I thought I drove last year.
Yeah, I mean, the long and short is I was looking for my key to get in the room, too.
Yeah. He was heading to the room. That's what he was doing. He just wanted to make sure he had everything in order.
I think I needed the keys of the car to get my bag.
Yeah,
and that's luckily enough, AJ, he got my bag out of the car for me, let me in my room, took me in my room. Hell, I'm not so sure he didn't get me done dressed, get me in a shower.
But, we didn't go that far.
the next night, we're sitting at B-Dub's talking about this, and they're all sitting around. I said, "Yeah." I told him the story. I said, "Yeah, you know that AJ?" I said, "Man, he's a good kid."
Good kid.
Oh, it was good stuff. It was a good time.
Well, I'm glad I could help out.
Yeah. Was it last year or 2 years ago that you walked in? Everybody's playing euchre, and you walked in your underwear. And
that's 2 years ago.
Two years ago, yeah.
That year, he decided he was going to turn it in early. And he came in and he said, "I'm going to take a shower and I'm gonna be ready to play golf tomorrow." I was already in the room or whatever. And I was like, "All right." He went in, he took a shower. He came out of that shower in his underwear. He's like, "Oh, I feel like a new man." Yeah. And he went right back.
Well, that's exactly what happened with this year, too. Because when I got in my room and I was trashed. And I think David Hayes even came in because he said, "I'm going to go in there and check on him. Make sure he's not drowned in the shower." And he come back and he said, "No, he's good. He's in the shower." I come out. I went back over to the main lodge around the fire.
Yeah, you hung out the rest of the night.
Yeah,
with us.
I did. Yeah, I showered.
Yeah, you seemed fine. You did seem fine for magical showers.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I will say about that trip, it's my second year on it. The guys that put that together, they do an awesome job.
Yes, they do. Yeah. We're thankful for them. Thank you so much for the invite.
Yeah. You're not getting rid of me unless I just really fuck up.
No, I mean, I got to die to not go on that trip or something.
Right. Yeah. Unless Spirit Hollow won't let you there, then.
Well, that could happen. I about got kicked out of a bar last week in Cincinnati. That's a different podcast.
Different story.
That goes on the Two Dubs pod.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of the Two Dubs pod, we should give them a little love. They kind of always give us love. And
they're doing a pod tonight,
too? Yeah, I think they're doing one right now. And if you love high school sports or, you know, even pay attention a little bit, you guys need to listen to this podcast because it's unbelievable the stuff that they know and that they talk about.
I like listening to them on Friday nights. And then if you text them, you know, they'll give you a little shout out. Like week one, they were in like down by St. Louis somewhere, Fairfax or something. Yeah. And so I text Ryan, you know, and Ryan's like, oh, shout out to all the boys back home, a little homie's garage. And then he goes, shout out to everybody at Scraps. Scraps said it's 108 degrees and they got a fire going. And it's just, it's funny. And, you know, it's good what they do.
Yeah. No, they do an excellent job. And yeah, I was thinking, you know, like, you know, we're from Monroe or whatever, so we want to listen to it because they talk about Monroe State Panther sports or whatever. But even like when they do, like tonight, they're going to preview the game, and then they're going to preview like everybody in the conference. Like if you live in the conference, like you could listen to this and still get a lot out of it.
Yep.
I mean, their insight is unbelievable. I wonder if like even Chris Duart listens to it, because I mean he should.
And they know what they're talking about. Yes, I mean, they really do. And that's two guys that are passionate about Monroe City sports. They're passionate about, you know, sports in the area. So they're two good guys to listen to. And we're lucky that we get to play golf with them all summer, too.
Yeah.
These podcasts are pretty cool, you guys do, you know.
Yeah.
I kind of thought when we got invited to be on here, we'd get like an email or something with some scripted questions about what we're going to talk about. But I'm not sure about your off-programming manager.
Nothing scripted, but the opening
is. You guys did an awesome job.
Yeah, we must have sent the email to the wrong email address.
It's pretty cool. You know, like we was talking earlier, maybe some – we're standing around a laptop just sitting here talking. Maybe that's some microphone. I thought I'd have like a pilot's headset on, a microphone and stuff in front of me.
Hey, we have food and beer. What else do you really need?
We got deer jerky and we got beer. And, you know, Knocker, we don't have the funds to get it.
I thought this would be like all set up professional, have like someone back there, you know, the mixing board and shit doing that stuff.
Well, I'm glad that you've listened to it in the past and you were actually like, that was your perception of what was actually going on there.
So I guess
you guys listen for free on this. Is there a cover charge to get online to do this?
No, everybody gets to listen for free.
Oh, man.
So we're taking donations. Is that what you're saying? We're taking donations?
I think you should be,
I mean, we're promoting the golf course. We're promoting the town. I mean, you work at JC's. Hell, he'll throw us some money. Everybody that listens, you know, GQ, throw us a little money. Who else? Benson, throw us some money. Hell, Griff, you got Subway. You
headphones and microphones. Now he's just going to give you sandwiches and cookies.
We'll take them. I mean, I guess we could open ourselves up for sponsorship. I mean,
send you our Venmo. Just text us. We'll send you Venmo.
That's right.
Throw a little advertisement on this thing for you.
Yeah, we'd love to be able to afford a mic and make it sound a little better, maybe a couple mics. So
what do we got? We got coming up, AJ. We're golfing tomorrow, aren't we?
We are. So tomorrow we head down to Fulton to play Tanglewood in an outing. It's a Whitetails Unlimited fundraiser. And I played in it last year, and it's a lot of fun. It's golf, beer, and guns. So if you can imagine,
what more could you want?
Yeah. At first, it sounded a little like scary. Maybe like what are we getting into? But no, it's a great day. They do a good job. Tanglewood's an awesome golf course.
I didn't know you played it last year.
Yep, I played in it last year, and we shot a ridiculous number. I think we shot 17 under par and did not finish first, second, or third.
Really?
Yeah. So it's one of those deals where they put you out there, just the four of you together. So I wonder how honest some of the teams were. But maybe there's some extremely good golfers there, too. So.
Yeah. I never heard there was sandbagging in golf.
Yeah. So
it's a four-man scramble?
Four-man scramble.
It's you three. Who's your fourth?
GQ.
Hmm.
Yep. Jerry will be there.
Kind of crazy I didn't get an invite, but hell, that ain't no big deal.
Well, I will say I was not in charge of that, so.
This is the last time these two will be on the pod.
Oh, wow.
Gotta be like that.
Oh, maybe you guys need to just invite him next year.
My God, next year. Invite one of the boys from In the Grip and just forget about the other. But I will give you props. You took the better of the two golfers.
You know, we invited somebody else to a couple tournaments, and they declined both times earlier in the year. So maybe after we were shot down a couple times, we decided that.
He doesn't remember it.
There was no shooting down. You all went to Macon. Now, I think that was the only invite I got.
No, we asked you about four-man, too. And you said I'm going with a good team.
No. I did not. I do remember you asking me, but you all would do the same thing I was doing. I was getting drunk all weekend and banking on Baggett, Butler, and Noah.
Yeah, well, next year we might have to re-strategize.
I mean,
we're going to, well,
you never know.
If I didn't have a three-man team as of about, I don't know, 18 hours ago, then I would be totally on your all three-man team. But
yeah,
I didn't get an invite on that either, AJ. Imagine that. So who's the fourth going to Tanglewood tomorrow?
GQ.
Yeah, GQ's in.
I was trying to think when I was looking for people to play. I knew AJ had a flexible. Listen to my language.
Yeah, we love that word.
Been drinking.
Schedule.
We slur on this podcast.
I figured he had a flexible schedule that he could, he could take a day off work. And I'm sitting around thinking, man, who else can I come up with that's unemployed that doesn't work? And Jerry just came to mind.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he should come to mind.
That's true.
And by the way, I am going to work in the morning before we go. So,
real? Oh, you probably got to mow greens or something, don't you?
Yeah, I'll go make sure everything's in order. And then, depending on how hard we hit it while we're down there, I might even work when I get back. So,
oh man,
yeah.
Wow. We talked about stopping at the football game in Centralia, so that may not work.
I'll just, now that I know that information, I'll just make sure I adjust my schedule to make it work. Yeah. No, yeah, things are flexible for me. So.
All right, cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Me too.
So, yeah, we're golfing tomorrow, and then we got a fun tournament coming up Sunday, too, don't we?
Yep, Sunday is the fundraiser the Dugout's putting on for Lake and Limbauer.
What's your old team there?
Well, I'm sorry, Josh, but I don't know that I was in on the team on that one. I'm picking anybody. If that's what you're getting at, I mean, sounds like you're about to chastise us for not.
No,
I think he's interested in
him. I'm not going to ream you all on this one. I know it's you two, and who's the other two?
Who are you playing with?
My dad, Buzzy, and Friedank.
Okay, so you got a squad. It's
going to be me and Bronson. We're going to take the old men, but Bronson, he's got something going on with his hand or something. So.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right. Yeah, back.
Fill me in.
Well, we took. It was just kind of by coincidence. We were all standing together. Jamie and I and Ryan Flutie was standing there.
That's right.
It was like, yeah. Well, here's three. Who else are we going to get? And then we got David Hayes. For the fourth. So that's our
good team.
Yep.
So we can probably make a little side bet with you if you
want. Well, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to, but I'll bake it with one of y'all. Fuck, I know.
Somebody can always give somebody strokes, too.
Like, and to, Mr. 3433 sitting right here in between me.
For that tournament, give a little shout-out to our sponsor that we'll be playing under his name this weekend, J.C. Schumeyer, J.C. Auto Truck Parts. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yep. He's taking care of our team this weekend.
That's cool. That's cool. And
JC, don't forget we need new mics in the studio.
But yeah, no, it's great what the Dugout's doing. They're going to raise some good money.
That's a good deal.
There's a long drive champion coming in for this, too.
Yeah, that's right. Take advantage of that.
Take advantage of them. I'm thinking we give them some challenges.
We got some
people out there that can hit the ball.
You know, it has not rained. We've had 0.8 of an inch in the last like 34 days. So, I mean, I played
tonight, and you all have played with me enough to know that I am not a long hitter by any stretch of the imagination. I hit one to 60 yards out on 5 tonight.
Yeah. So.
And I don't ever do that. But you're right. It hit the fairway, and then there's nothing. Just dry as a bone out there. Just rolled.
So, I wonder what this guy, if this guy's hitting it good and we put him on hole one, he might have to hit 3 wood to not knock it over the green.
That's what I was.
Actually, he'll probably fly it right short and he'll roll on. I mean, the greens are wet, so probably be perfect. So, take advantage of the long drive guy.
Need one, AJ? You ready?
I got one more over here, so I'm doing great.
Oh, all right.
And, hopefully somebody take it like some video. I will be out of town. I have a wedding up in Chicago I have to go to.
You're not going to be there.
Mm-mm. I will not be there.
Nonetheless, you got to go to Chicago with that.
Yeah. Now, is this that long haired guy that hits all in long drives is playing?
No.
Kyle Berkshire.
Berkshire.
My God.
Kyle Berkshire.
If you're listening,
and you don't have anything going on this weekend, you might as well come on down.
Honestly, what is the distance from one tee box to 6 green?
Do we know that?
I can tell you real quick. It's there. So one tee box, you're 380 plus probably one.
So five or six.
50-ish.
You're looking at six.
Yeah.
So he probably couldn't quite hit that.
You can Google.
No, but I tell you what, he could probably hit one pretty damn close to that, like in the middle of that Colt side.
No shit.
You can Google Earth that shit and find out exactly what it is. Actually, I did it one time.
Google Earth's a great tool.
I'm glad I'm not the only fucking douchebag who does this.
I had to know one time. Okay, so there's a story about it.
Do it all the time.
So we get into this dumbass bet. Me and my dad are playing.
Every drunk story starts off with we get in this dumbass bet.
We've been out to league one night. We get in this dumbass fucking bet with, who was it, Todd? You and Gares or you and Shane?
I think it's me and Shane.
Okay. All right. So it was you and Shane.
And Ryan and Gares.
Ryan and Gares. And me and my dad.
Yeah.
Playing a tick game against each other. And what was it? It was $3 a tick or something.
Something.
And I'm like, yeah, fuck, whatever. We'll get in this shit. And we're playing. Me and dad are not playing very well at all. So I told dad, I said, this could fucking cost us. I said, we ought to buy out. He said, yeah, let's buy out. And I said, fuck it. We're already into it. We're four holes into it. Let's just keep playing. Played like crap that night. And I'm standing. I get done. Standing on the back of hole nine. And everybody's played Mosswood. I'm sure everybody's listening has. You got that little pond sitting right off to the side there.
Yep.
I'm standing on the back of the green. I dropped my ball and just took my putter. Just wanted to take a nice smooth swing. Because I was mad at that ball. And hit it over into the water. That was the purest, crispest hit I've ever had with my putter. And that ball sailed over the water, over that grassy area, and right into the parking lot. And
oh.
I said, oh, fuck.
Did you hit the car?
And I heard this. I seen it hit the asphalt, and then bam! Right in the side of somebody's truck.
Oh, man.
And the guy standing 20 feet away from me, it was his fucking truck. So I said, fuck, let's just add insult to injury on this fucking round of golf. So I said, well, let's go over and take a look at it. Went over and took a look at it, and big ass golf ball sized dent in the side of his bedside that's got rust all over it. I said, whatever. I said, just take it and get it fixed, whatever it takes. So we go back to playing. Todd pulls up on hole two, hands me some money, and he said, I think Shane and Ryan owe you money, too. He said, you and your dad beat us. Beat everybody. And I was like, there's no fucking way. So it was a
team game. And
he won $18 and lost $300 in the fucking
bet. It cost me about $100.
Yeah. Whose truck was it?
Joe McNeil's.
Okay.
Yeah, big-ass dent in the side of it. Yep.
I tell you what.
So little word of advice. Don't lose your temper.
Yeah. Or just aim a better direction.
Yeah. I'm thinking about teeing off my putter on par threes.
Well, yeah. Who would have known that you're just going
to
hit putters?
Yeah. So I Google Earth that. Anyways, I was getting to that. I Google Earth that distance. It's like 150 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
150-yard pure putter.
Yeah.
Right into the side of a truck. Well, I mean, shit happens, you know?
Yeah, usually we get pissed and break a club.
Yeah.
You got pissed and dented a truck.
Yeah, cost about the same.
Yeah, cost about the same, you're right.
In the end, it was.
Yeah, and for a good story, though.
True, yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
And the guy was right there with you when it happened.
Yeah, so it's not like I could have said, fuck, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. No, no.
Yeah.
No, you're there, yeah, that's your fault. Yeah, no, good for you for immediately saying you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, fuck, I wasn't going to be that asshole.
Yeah. Shouldn't have parked his truck there, right?
There's a reason I park on the other side of the parking lot.
Yeah, now you know. Now you know. I never knew golf balls headed like in that direction or whatever. I've actually been hitting flop shots onto the putting green and blading one into the side of the clubhouse there, or whatever, and thought, boy, that could have been a window real easily.
Oh, you know? Shit! I've had situations like that too, actually. Standing in my front yard one day hitting golf balls.
in your own house.
Yeah, my house. Yeah. No, I didn't hit my house, but I'm standing hitting over top of this tree line. I just got that driver that Todd and I got matching drivers earlier this year, and I'm standing out in the yard hitting them, and watching them fly over the tree line, not thinking much about it. One night, I'm standing in the dugout of the baseball game about 9:30, and my neighbor calls. He says, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm cleaning up from a baseball game. He said, come down to the house when you get done. All right. I was like, we're going to drink beer or something. So go down there. He gets his flashlight out, starts walking out. And I'm wondering the whole way home, man, kind of hit some slices down that way. Surely it didn't get all the way down there. So we go down there, and he gets his flashlight out, and he said, that Titleist yours? And I missed a perfect opportunity. I should have said, because he told me for my wife, too. I should have said, honey, get my 9-iron. I found my ball.
Yeah.
But, yeah, sure enough, there was a ball down there, ball next to his shop, ball next to his car. And he just built this real nice, immaculate shop. And I figured, I said, oh, fuck. I said, all right, I'll be back down tomorrow after work, and we'll take a look at this and make sure there's no dents. And, yeah, it's a good thing I don't have really good aim because I missed his fucking 40x60 shop.
Well, yeah, that's great. And you had no idea that...
Had no idea that he's going down there now.
Yeah.
Nope.
Now you know. That's funny.
Well, what's your all's favorite tournament of the year? It doesn't have to be at Mosswood. Don't bring up Spirit because it can't be that.
Sure. For me, Scrap Town. Now, I can say that because we won it because it shot real well, but I really like that one because of the
format. Everybody matters.
Everybody matters. And I like one-day tournaments. I like two-man suit. I like all of them, don't get me wrong. I don't like the sandbagging. I don't like trying to figure all that shit out. I would like a tournament that's... I would like a pre-flight tournament. I would like a tournament
too.
Where you know where you sit and you have to play your best golf. We went to, a couple years ago, we went to Louisiana. And I know several of the other guys went to, Mike and Trent went a couple years ago, and Darren. But
you've been, AJ?
Yeah, I've been down there. I used to go every year.
Yeah, it was Father's Day weekend. Yeah, that's the one we always went to. But that was a pre-flighted tournament.
Yep.
So you did have to shoot good starting off to get placed in your flight well. But there was no sandbagging. There was no... You just played golf, and I really like that.
It is nice. You know,
both days matter.
Yeah, both days matter. Nobody's ever taking a shot off. Nobody's messing around, and nobody's talking about what score they're going to turn in either.
Right.
So, yeah, it kind of – it's a way to get rid of the cheating, basically. And
we were standing around – so you guys that are listening, everybody that's listening played in it probably, they know what happened with the four-man this year. We had all that rain starting off. And we only played 9 holes. So it got flighted off in 9 holes. There was a comment made, and I believe it was by Todd. We were standing around talking about a different format, and I liked it. Let's go out and play 18 holes. You flight it off of 9 random holes. Because if anybody remembers...
I've heard of this. Actually, tournaments have done this.
Yeah, when they flighted that tournament off of 9 holes, how tight the scores were.
Yep.
So you flight it off in 9 random holes. What you're going to get there is you're going to get guys that are still going to go out. They're still going to try and birdie 1. They're still going to try and eagle 2 and 8 because they're still looking for that skin money. There's not going to be very many holes that they're going to say, man, let's throw one here. But somebody else is going to say, you know what? There may not have been anybody done worth a shit on this one. So you flight it off in 9 random holes and then go out the next day and play. Maybe it worked. Maybe it wouldn't. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean... That's an idea I love. I think it'd probably be way more fun, too.
It's either that or something along the four-man line. Let's pull scorecards from the last five years of everybody that's played. Most of the people that come and play the four-man have been playing it for 5 years plus.
Yep.
Pre-flighted off of their last 5 scores.
Off of Sunday scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off of Sunday scores.
Right.
Here's my deal with it. Is we've talked about it 100 times on pre-flight and it's switching it up. Now's the time if you're going to do it, and I don't want to screw Mosswood's big tournament up. They make a lot of money on it. It's what packs them through the winter. I get it. But, and I have no say, just like everybody in here other than AJ has no say. But
you know that everybody other than board members are the smartest people ever.
Yeah.
It's just like the best coach in a baseball team is sitting in the stands.
Yep.
Anyway,
us three are smarter than AJ. You're right. So, anyway, but this next year is probably your year to play with it, in my opinion. If you're going to do it, if you're going to play with it, try to do something so the cat has a rabbit.
Cat just walked in with a rabbit in its mouth.
I've been telling everybody that he's a killer.
It's
every morning he's got something dead.
You don't have to worry about feeding that cat
tonight. Yeah, next podcast they're having roasted rabbit.
Yeah.
Rabbit stew, isn't that what Elmer Fudd used to say?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Don't edit that out. That was just my point on it was, if you're going to try to switch something up with the four-man, and I'm not saying yes or no because I have no say in any of it, but my opinion is if you're going to switch something up in this four-man, maybe pre-flight it, maybe do something like you're talking about, pick random holes, this next year, 2022, is your year to do that.
I agree. Because you had so much controversy.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it.
I don't know of a great way to fix the sandbagging. And it was more obvious that this year than any time in the past that sandbagging is it's out of control at this point.
And everybody hates it, but everybody has to play the game because everybody wants to win money.
Right. Look, so let's give them a different game to play.
Yeah. I get it. I get there's championship flight golfers in A. I get there's A golfers in B. There. I mean, it trickles down. It starts at championship. It's not your B and C. It starts at championship in A, and it works its way down. And guys like us three, me, Knocker, and Todd, we're fucked. It's just like in the one man. We're fucked, and we got to do what we got to do so we're in the flight that we can legit have a chance in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It just is how it is. AJ doesn't know because he's in championship. He knows, but he doesn't have to deal with it because he's in championship flight, and every hole matters to him. Every shot matters to you, which is the way it should be for all of us. Right. But in my opinion, you have to do something about it. I don't know what you do. We've talked about it 1,000 times. I don't know what you do about it, but in my opinion, is this next year is the year you play with it and you try to tweak it.
Yeah. There's tons of conversation already, and I think the more we talk about it too, the guys that do it are realizing that we do this and it's really not that much fun to go out there and turn in a ridiculous score of like 3 over par and then turn around and shoot 11 under par the next day. And I mean, so I don't know, there's no perfect answer
I said it before and I'm beating a dead horse with this, but at Kirksville, I've talked about it. I know I've talked about it on the pod, but I'll say it again. At Kirksville, you have championship flight golfers in C flight because C flight has money in it in the Calcutta. So these, you know, three teams that have no business being in that flight are going for ridiculous numbers, and they all get bought up, and they go and they shoot out of the tournament. And so they just shoot out of the tournament. They win their Calcutta money. And then your teams that are supposed to be in C flight, they win money too. So nobody bitches about it in that tournament because guess what? Your guys that are supposed to be there win money, and then the douchebags that aren't supposed to be there but they win Calcutta money, that is how it is. If our Calcutta was big, we would not be having this conversation right now.
Right, yeah. I mean, you go Bolivar, Missouri. They just had Calcutta that had $70,000 in their Calcutta.
I seen that message.
And
is that the one? That was Heritage Hills I seen.
No, that was a different one. I don't know what that tournament was. That one was weird. They did the Calcutta.
It was like $22,000.
You would bid on each individual person in the tournament.
Yeah, I think that was...
But no, at Bolivar down at Silo Ridge, they have a 3-man, and the Calcutta is crazy, crazy. And you know, I think it's more accepted down there that if you show up, it's going to cost you a ridiculous amount of money to play in the Calcutta tournament. And so you better play. And so there's some really, really good golfers that play in B flight. And I'm talking guys that should play in championship flight no matter where they go. Everybody's bought in to that, to the sandbagging down there. And it's accepted in the tournament. And
here's the thing, too. Do we get rid of, or do, not we, do you all get rid of choice? And say, nope, we're bidding on each individual team. Is that what you got to go back to?
Yeah, I think that's where you start. The choice, it limits yourself. It really does. And there was, I think what happened is they tried the choice and everybody bought in real quick to it. And then, you know, after a few years, everybody started learning, well, you know, sit back and try to own yourself for really cheap or whatever. And so, yeah, you got to go back to go back to what it used to be. And I always thought the Calcutta was a lot more fun the way it used to be. You know, you there was an anticipation of getting to your team. Mm-hmm. And then also they would sell choice in each flight. And then so that was exciting to see who the choice in the flight was going to be.
And so did they open it up with, all right, we're starting a championship flight, we're going choice. First, did they say the first bid is choice, and then after that they just pick teams?
Yep.
That's what they did?
Flight. Yep. So, yeah, usually they start in C and said, okay, C flight choice is the first bid, and you know, and go for $1,000 or whatever. And they got a choice of whatever team. And then they immediately went to the last score and started there. All right, we're bidding on this team. Nobody bid on, they went to the pool. And I mean, I felt like those Calcuttas drew more people, they were more fun, and as a player, like, you were excited that your team was getting ready to come up. You know, you wanted to be there in that moment, and I don't know. I miss that, and I think that's where you start. I think that's the first place you start. But
so here's that group text that a bunch of us are into that – I'm the old guy, and I don't have an iPhone. I can't answer anything on it. I can't say anything to anybody. But this message is from Chris, from Griffin, and it says, tournament payout. He sent a picture of it. 50%, and it says, first, $22,000.
50% of 20, that's $44,000.
Is that,
$500 in Calcutta. Wow.
Here you go.
I don't know what that tournament was.
Now, this says, he also said Heritage Hills, apparently.
This weekend, apparently. And then Trav said that's correct, but they bid on each player. So but still, that's a ton of money in the Calcutta. And it looks like that's only one flight, maybe, or maybe the whole tournament's just one flight. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm winning tournaments like that every weekend playing Calcutta, I mean.
Yeah, quit your job, sorry, right?
I'm not working.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm working on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, that's cool. There's opportunities like that around here. You guys that love to go and play golf or whatever.
All right, Todd.
All right,
here we go. What's your favorite tournament?
Yeah,
we got to get on Todd real quick.
I'm going to have to agree with Jamie. The Scraptown Classic, has to be a favorite because we played three rounds of golf, and every round of golf that we played mattered.
There we go.
Opposed to, you know, the four-man Sundays, just a beer drinking event for all of us except for you guys, AJ, and championship flight. You know, the rest of us are like, oh, we know we're going to shoot, or have to shoot. Saturday. So we have to go do that. The three man I didn't get to play in last year due to children and their events. So hopefully this year we'll see how the three man goes. The one man, it wasn't, I don't think, as bad last year. But there is still sandbagging that goes on there. So anytime the sandbagging occurs, it just sucks.
AJ, you know, is your favorite one man
play,
or four man?
I want to play for a purpose opposed to, well, let's just go out and go through the motion, and tomorrow is the day that matters, or the next 18 is the one that matters.
For me, the one man and the four man are really close. That's hard to say.
If the one man has many teams as the four man does, which would be obviously individual guys, I think we're not even having this conversation.
Yeah, I love the one man.
I do too.
I really do.
I've been pretty successful in it, so I'm sure that helps a little bit. But it seems every shot really matters, or every round.
You've been successful a lot in golf. What is this group text about? Chris Griffin doesn't like you, according to one of your stepkids.
Oh yeah, he went in to get some Subway.
Yeah. We were riding home the other night, and it's so funny. Logan, my stepson, is always has stuff to talk about, stuff to say, and he looks at me. We were talking about golf, I'm sure, and he looks at me and he says, we were talking about golf, and he says, is that that guy that works at Subway? And I'm like, no, this is somebody else. And he's like, he says, well, I went to Subway tonight, and that guy was talking about golf and talking about you and how he doesn't like you because you always win. I said, well, I don't know that I always win, but I did win this weekend, so that might be the reason why he was. He went on to just like any other kid, is a giant sponge, and he soaked all that up and then was quick to come back and repeat and tell me somewhat of what happened. So anyway, it was funny.
That's good.
Logan's the same kid that Jamie that told you, what is this pizza? Oh, I don't like that
kind of pizza. Yeah. See, now I was thinking about that too. I thought you and I and Jimmy played the three man last year.
I was thinking the kids had to shoot, but no. Nope. Different tournament? All
the,
right.
The one that we missed out on because they had to shoot was...
Oh, that was in Canton.
It was in Canton. Yeah, it was at Baggett's.
Right. That's right. Dad's Memorial. We did play the three-man yeah. last year. I just don't remember.
We played the three-man.
It was pretty cold that day.
Yeah.
We had had frost like...
Yeah, we got delayed, I think.
The week prior, we had frost a couple times, and then I think we had frost again that morning.
Did we play good, James? Did we not play?
Played all right. I don't think we placed or anything, but, I mean, it doesn't always matter about whether or not you win. It's just about the moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what it's all enjoy about.
Your time. Did you have fun?
Sure. Oh, fuck yeah.
You always have fun.
Yeah, so we, it was me, Todd, and Jimmy. And
he's the better Fulton Maney.
Yeah, he is. Okay. He is. You know, let's get it right, Josh. He's the more gooder.
Yeah, I figured.
So we played, and then we said, "Well, fuck, you know, we're hungry. We're going to order dugout pizza." So I did. I ordered 8 or 10 pizzas and took them out to Todd's house, and we were all sitting around. And Logan, he gets himself a pizza, and he says, "Jamie, is this Canadian bacon?" And I'm thinking, "All right, fuck, I got like a 50-50 shot here." I said, "Yeah, it is." And you wouldn't believe it, the little shit took that piece of pizza and slammed it down and said, "I don't like Canadian bacon." I stood there and thought, "Well, fuck. I'll remember it next time."
Yeah, next time. We're telling you it's something different.
Yeah, so we didn't get Canadian bacon there a couple weeks ago.
And he asked for it.
And he did? I didn't know that. Yeah,
we were texting. So this gets just messy.
Yeah, you know. I felt bad not coming, but I was in no shape. We were
texting you two. AJ's like, "What the fuck? You need 7 Casey's pizza?"
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, well, Logan, sounds like maybe we need to get Logan on this podcast and do some bullshit.
He is, if he knows the buttons to push, he is a master at pushing.
And there we go.
He enjoys it, so it's
he sounds awesome.
He is awesome. Well, all of them are, but yeah.
That's cool. All right, what else do we need? We need to talk about more golf.
Okay.
All right, so let's talk about PGA Tour. I mean, they just finished their season. Patrick Cantlay won $15 million at a tour championship that he didn't actually win the golf tournament. God, that pissed me off so bad. I don't get that. I mean, letting a guy start out. I mean,
10 under?
They should have like a net and a gross and whatever. He can win his $15 million for the what net, whatever. But that's so weird. Yeah, what, Kevin Na should have won the golf tournament or whatever and shot the best score for the 4 days.
Right. How pissed would you be to be that guy?
Yeah, could you imagine like being somebody in the field who's never won on the PGA Tour before and going out and beating everybody for 4 days, mm-hmm. but you don't actually get a win? Which I'm pretty sure the win isn't official.
It's not?
I'm pretty sure it's not. I think the money is official.
I was going to say the $15 million is definitely official.
Yeah. The money's official, but the win itself is not official, so...
AJ, if you don't get your
2 year exemption.
If one of us won $15 million on the PGA, we would have mics.
Yeah,
instead we're begging for fucking.
Yeah, we would have
JC mics. And everybody else in town to give us a little money.
Yeah,
Todd and I was talking one night about PGA golfers and shit, and sponsor or not sponsorship, but you know, you look around, you see all the commercials. Who's on every commercial?
Fowler.
Exactly.
He's still there. He finished outside the 125 on the FedEx Cup this year.
Yeah. Ricky Fowler is on every commercial.
And you know what? Everybody dogging me like, "Oh, yeah, don't even." Dude, I don't give a fuck. The motherfucker knows what he's doing.
I don't say it. Whoever his manager is, they.
Yeah.
Dude, his friends call him Richie Fowler.
I'm not saying there's anything.
Hangs out with Steve, hangs out with JT. It doesn't have half the wins one of them does.
They hang out with him.
And he has double the money they do. Yeah, ain't no doubt.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Rick is rich. There's no doubt about it. He's done it right.
Don't hate the player.
Hate
the game,
But on top of that, the guy is really, really good at golf. He got married and started playing shitty golf. Anybody else know that?
Hey, I tell you what, dude. I have played bad golf since I got married, and I am calling my shit off.
Yeah?
Nope. I'm done with it.
You're done with it? Well, I mean, I doubt that's the reason you're playing bad golf, but...
No, I'm just I'm a B golfer, and I'm playing B golf like normal.
I do think it's interesting that Ricky Fowler got married and then started playing bad golf. Which, I mean, priorities change. Whether you gain a second family, you got twice as many birthdays you got to get to, things like that. And I'm, from what I hear, Ricky Fowler's like a really good guy, so he's not going to want to miss any of that stuff.
No, I mean, you got to prioritize that stuff.
And he's trying to hit those stupid blade irons he tries to hit, which...
Fucking nothing wrong with blades. That's what I hit.
Yeah, you ought to see his blades. Yeah. The butter
Is he
knives.
Hitting cobras? Like them right there, like... 30 years ago or 50 years ago.
Have you seen them golden cobra iron blade irons that he hits?
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, good for him for thinking that's that the right way to go or whatever, but come on, man.
All
right,
so what's the play? Is the play open cavity?
The play is you got to get the club that fits right for you, but always pick the club that's the easiest to hit. As long as, like, so players like to work it if they can. Some players just want consistency. I want to see the ball take off. I want to know where it's going or whatever. You got to figure out what type of player you are and then just find the club that's the easiest to hit that you can get, you know, a normal ball flight out of. And I've always said it. I will always say it. You have to go try lots of different golf clubs.
So how do you what makes the ball flight correct? Is it the shaft?
Mostly. And then the ball.
I gotcha.
The ball's huge. And I don't think a lot of people realize how big the ball is. Like,
same size ball, just a different ball.
Yeah.
You say that.
I was waiting. Yeah. Somebody was going to get dirty with it.
Yeah.
I knew they would.
You say that, AJ, but that was one of the interesting things that I found out from the simulator.
Yeah.
I would place ball A, ball B, ball C, ball D all together, hit them, and... Every one of them produces different spin,
different flight,
different distances, different carry distance, total distance, and they're all different.
And so you got to figure out
which one.
Yeah, you got to figure out
your swing,
what type of player you are. If you're a guy who has trouble, like let's say greens are firm, and you have trouble getting the ball to hit on the green and stop, you immediately have to go get a golf ball that helps you. Get the ball to land on the green and stop.
A softer ball.
Yeah, a ball that comes down with a greater descent angle with more spin.
Gotcha.
You got to get that. And you can do it through the ball, and you can do it through the club, too. You can get clubs that help you do that. But let's say you're a person one day. This one day, you're a person that hits let's say you just hit a Pro V1 is the golf ball you play. And you play some shafts that are like, we'll put them in the category of stiff. And you hit shots onto a firm green, and they land in the middle of the green, and they always release out past. Well, we can immediately, within a day, we can make you a player that can hit that shot, can hit in the middle of the green, and then stop still on the green just by changing either your ball, or we can change your shaft to a shaft that's going to create a ball flight that makes that happen for you. Think about how much better of a golfer you are now that you've hit a shot that's not over the back of the green. It's now on the green.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have putt for birdie instead of trying to get them down.
Sure.
It's you. Yeah. I preach it a lot. I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast has heard me say something about equipment and how you got to learn what works for you and things like that.
Well, we play a tournament tomorrow with you, AJ. I plan on getting like 18 holes of critiquing.
Oh, yeah? You want some lessons while we go? I've been playing some outings here lately, like quite a few. And at least the last two, maybe the last three, have been like 80% swing lessons and like 20% me
tomorrow,
playing.
We're just going to drink beer, play golf, have fun. But in October, November, December, when you're gonna come out to the simulator to drink more beer, maybe we'll get a little lesson or two then.
Well, here's the thing: I enjoy doing that. I really do. I don't know a ton about it. I basically just try to soak up as much as I learn from other people that actually know what the hell they're talking about. And if I can learn something and I can share it with somebody and it helps them out, like I'm going to do that.
For sure. One thing I found really interesting is for me being a B golfer or a C or whatever you want to say, playing with someone that's a scratch golfer that can help you during the middle of the match. When I played the alternating shot with Benson, he would help me with line my putts up. He would say, let's use a little more club here. he was really analyzing a lot of stuff. That to me makes a big difference on a B or C golfer.
You're a B.
You can play with someone that
do what?
You're a B.
A. Golfer. He's an A. He's shot 33.
Fucking A. But someone that can you can play with someone that can really help you. That's really interesting. I like that. That's cool.
Yep.
It is cool. And
so we played at Spirit Hollow this weekend, and I had Butler and Schrag on my team. And Schrag kept giving me feedback, and he's like, I mean, I'll quit telling you stuff if you don't want to hear it. And I'm like, no, tell me something every time. Yeah, there's them guys that don't want to hear it, but I do. I want to hear it every time. Too. So
yeah, the format, when we played the four-man scramble at Spirit Hollow, it was me and you and
Butler.
And
Michael, no, nah. Not Michael Williams.
No, I can't remember either. But that was one thing Butler told me. Butler told me I was hooking my driver real bad, just shanking it. He told me, he said, slow down. He said, you're just really fast on your backswing, really fast on your follow-through. He said, slow down a little bit, and it made a hell of a difference.
Yeah. Idris.
Idris, yeah.
Idris.
Yeah, he's right. When you're quick, it can produce a hook real fast. Mm-hmm.
And Butler told me, he's like, man, he's like, I've been telling you, you know, the same thing. And I'm like, hearing it in a different way, you know, makes a big difference for me. Like he's telling me, you know, something. And it's basically the same thing Schreg's telling me. But Schrag just words it different. Yeah. And for me, being a fucking moron, you know, just hearing it a different way, I'm like, well, that's way simpler than what, you know, Butler was telling me. So then I, you know what I mean? It's just easier for me. Everybody's like that. So.
No, yeah, everybody has to hear it different, too, yep. In their own way. And that's, you know.
It's just like them pros. Like, you see Spieth. I'm a big follower of Spieth. And Cameron McCormick tells him something, and he's been trying, but he's not getting any better, but he's grinding. And then he goes to Butch Harmon, and he goes there for 2 hours. And then what Butch told him just clicks with him,
yep.
You know. And Butch is obviously not his coach. McCormick is. But it's just little – it's hearing it from somebody else and hearing it in a different way.
Yeah, or something new. It's like the way you think about it, it's something new, and it just works sometimes. You know, I've given a lot of swing lessons, you know, and there are some people that I just can't help, you know, no matter what. And I know what they need to do differently, but I can't tell them. I can't figure out the words to tell them that's going to help them out. And so lots of times you have to tell them, hey, you got to go talk to somebody else. Somebody else that you need. I mean, you got a weird over-the-top move or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that can deal with that move better than I can, because mm-hmm. I'm just not going to be able to help you. Like, I wish I could. I can tell. Yeah. I can tell what you're doing wrong, but...
I can't wait for you to tell me what I'm doing so and, you can help
yeah.
me.
But no, like, just like what you said, but that situation, you know, you think as an amateur golfer, as a, like a really high handicap guy.
Yeah.
Like even the pros need to hear it differently sometimes.
Yeah, just worded different or something. It means the same thing, but it's just worded different.
Yeah, it could be one of the best swing coaches in the entire world.
And they're pros hearing it.
Yeah, yeah. It's and they can't get across to them because they have to hear it differently. So.
Yeah.
It's fun talking about it. It's always cool that people are trying to get better and trying to figure stuff out. But, all right, what else do we need to talk about? We do need to mention one thing. There is a high school girl from Father Tolton that shot a 60.
Yeah.
60 in an 18-hole round of golf.
Yeah.
Yep, seen that.
In a match. And
wow.
Like, that's a 6 and a 0. That is, first of all, first thing here, I tried to look up her name earlier, and I'm pretty sure she's just a sophomore in high school.
I think she is. I think I've seen that on Twitter, that she's just a sophomore from Tolton. Yeah.
60. Like, where do you go from there, first of all, you go.
Well, you don't.
You go to a Division I college, mm-hmm. and you get
I mean, you're going to get your card.
Yeah, you get your college pay for sure.
Somebody's here.
Oh, we got a new guest, Michael Williams.
Oh, Michael,
Two Dubs is here.
Both the Two Dubs.
It's going to be a dual podcast tonight, folks. You are in for a treat.
Guys.
Oh, for sure you'll be done.
Yeah.
We just got
we're
just getting into it.
Audrey, we've been going for a while, Richard. But we're just now in it.
Yeah. All right, tell us about Two Dubs show tonight.
It's not
Two Dubs show, not like always. Big preview of week 4 for Monroe City against Centralia. And
talked about the conference a little bit. Should be kind of a bellwether week for the conference and the CCC football. A lot of Monroe football preview. Talked a little Mizzou.
Always fun talking ball, right? Good Mizzou conversation at the end if you're a Mizzou fan. So listening to there's two dubs on all your podcast locations, just like these guys in the grip. We thought you all would be done, so we stopped in. But
no, hell no.
Still going strong here at the old In the Grip land.
We haven't done one for a while. We got to run this one longer.
Yeah, we were about to quit a while ago, and we're like, nah.
Got to get my dugout team for this weekend primed.
Oh, yeah. You were mentioned in there, yes.
They're liquored up, if nothing else.
Hey,
so what's going on in the match play? Did we get an update on the match play?
So I'm out.
Ricky Brandt's in.
You know who's not out? Ronnie Dean
is in, baby.
He's a 38.
Yep. So he's for sure.
Shot 38?
I mean, what am I gonna do?
Elite 8.
I mean, Jeff, yeah, two. That didn't matter.
Who shot 38?
Yeah. Kevin Long.
Kevin Long's in.
Ronnie Dean's still in.
Benson's in. All right,
so I know.
Kevin plays Benson.
Ricky Brandt beat Hunter Baggett in 6 holes.
Yep. After he beat Ryan Watson in 7.
Yeah. So
I heard Ricky was like 2 over after 7 in that match because they played all 9 holes. So Ricky was playing stellar.
Impossible to beat him when he gets 10 strokes.
Yeah.
Who beat Aaron Gibbs? Aaron Gibbs just got beat.
He got beat by, Conrad.
Yeah. Conrad plays
Ronnie Dean.
Yeah,
and don't think I won't be on there coaching.
Hey, Ronnie is playing exceptional golf, they say.
I say, Dad, we're going to chiz this mother.
Glenn Tommy, Rod Gallo was supposed to happen last night, didn't, probably this weekend. That'd be a good one.
Yes it will.
So while we're on that subject about the match play, that's what I talking to these guys about earlier, about making league Wednesday night and Thursday night. You got guys that got other commitments in June.
Prior engagements.
Oh, you're trying to make it two-day.
That they can't make a Wednesday night.
Grab me a claw, Luke Dog.
They can't make a Wednesday night, but they can make a Thursday night. Yep. And it goes back to, I've always heard this shit before. Well, you know, you can't do that because playing conditions change. Bullshit. You go out at 1 o'clock and play and it's nice out. You go out at 4 o'clock and it rains its ass off and it's Wednesday. I'm no fucking meteorologist, but I'm going to tell you, playing conditions changed just then, too. So, you know, you could have had more players that could have got their 16 rounds in, or when they couldn't play until a Thursday, they were playing really good golf at the end of the year. So,
hey,
you know what it sounds like to me? Sounds like Todd and Knocker are our next men's league.
But you know what we were talking about?
I mean, Bronson and Yogi are doing fine.
Now, I knew that was going to be said. Here's the thing. I don't have time to make the fucking Wednesday night every year. There ain't no fucking way I can run the league.
You need to a gig that we all tee off at 1 o'clock. Where are you at, Knocker?
Hey, I'm fucking hammering keys, slinging parts. I'm getting our fucking paid for.
Two of the leaders for Spirit Hollow are in this building right now.
Oh, yeah.
And would we just say that maybe our two captains for 2023 are sitting right in here with Todd and Knocker?
Yeah, we do need to think about this in the future. That's
one way to break them up.
Yeah, motherfucker. We've been trying to break them up for years, and we can't do it.
I don't know.
I think it's a pretty good deal.
Duo is pretty good.
Realistically, we're running out of people that have been that have not been captains.
True.
You can have repeats.
There's no problem with repeats.
Yeah, but it's been fun.
Jordan the Bulls repeated how many times.
So me and Ryan were captains. Dave and Shane have been captains.
AJ and Benson.
Yep. Josh and Grant.
And Trav and Griff are about ready to be.
Yep. And I tell you what, probably your next two after Todd and Knocker are Baggett Butler.
You might as well do Baggett.
Hold on. They can't be captains until we see that they're actually. Butler's been one year.
I already brought it up on the pod. I said, we're going to have a meeting and we're going to talk about it in fucking actually January. Goes,
yeah, that's true. He hasn't been yet.
Baggett's been one of those, like Josh and Bronson, them guys, every year to go, oh, we're going. And then it comes, hey, we're not going to go this year. That's Baggett. Baggett's, oh, I'm going to go. So we'll see.
That's because they don't have a track record. They don't have a 15 or 20 year track record of being married to where you can just tell a wife, this is the way it is.
Yeah, is that right?
So doctors gave me some like marital advice, and I don't know if it's good or bad.
Look, man, I'm gonna tell you what. Here it is, right here. Happy wife, happy life.
I've been already like,
yeah, that is true. I mean, but you have to keep them happy.
Mm-hmm. One thing I know for sure that will not happen next year at Spirit Hollow. I will not be going to the casino the night before when we go a day early.
You did good.
I did good. What part of did good do you? No, I am not. I will go early and play golf again all day.
Yeah, there will be some committee discussions because there after some pace of play issues, there might be some changes in format. But
that's going to be a January, February pod.
Yeah, get us out of the doldrums of
fucking cold weather.
Glad more years, boys. What else have you boys been talking about?
All right, so we're going to bring it up while we're fucking here. We've been talking about four man. What are we going to do? No, there's not a we. It's AJ. There's no. And Michael, we got two board members in here now.
AJ's on the board now.
He's the fucking greenskeeper. He's always on the board.
Well, so I know, he's not. Okay, go ahead.
He's got a voice. So we got two here, and we got four dumb fucks sitting back here behind the bar. So,
like I told you, the dumb fucks always have the best ideas. We're always the best coaches.
So what's your opinion? We were talking about maybe pre-flighting it. What do you think for the four man? And I know, Ryan, I know it's your big money tournament of the year, Michael. We've talked about it 100 times. It's your big money. You don't want to screw it up. But this is your year. If you change something up, this is the year to do it, right? Am I wrong?
So here would be my thing. Just one man's opinion. I'm a C flight golfer, so take that for what it is.
Yeah. If he's a C, then us three are
D. Okay, but here's what I would do. I would start with a cow cutter, right? Because that's really where the issues arose, right?
Correct.
So start there and put something in place. Like, first thing I would do in B and C is not do choice. I would say, I would point at this team and I would say, that way, if you're buying that team, if you're buying me and Todd, you know exactly, first of all, what we're willing to bid because you're sitting there watching us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think. Okay?
And then some crazy C-Flight team doesn't go for $500. And then all of a sudden that C-Flight team is like, that financially makes no sense for us. So even if that makes C-Flight's Calcutta a little less, it saves on driving.
I don't think it will. I think you would do.
It will not.
And I think maybe you do a choice for the flight.
You want the
and
team
then you go by there. But there's no way. I don't see any way that the flight money will go down. No
but here, here's the other thing. You could also implement.
It's been so low here.
My God.
Yeah, it can't be any worse.
Right.
The other thing would be force teams to buy like a quarterback. Like you don't have a choice. You have to buy a quarter of your team.
Yeah, that way the motherfuckers don't say, oh, fuck, if you don't sell it back to me, I'm not showing up tomorrow.
Right. Which my team didn't say that.
Controversy we had.
But it doesn't happen often, but that has happened, three or four and times more, in the last decade.
Because, so. I mean, but I don't know that we go to the extreme extent. This, again, one humbled man's opinion. My team never plays golf, so I'm on a team of rookies. And
that shoots 11 under every year.
And
him and Dave are out there at 1 o'clock every.
No, night. Dave does not play.
But
no
our
golf
team doesn't play golf.
He did not play any golf.
But George comes out and balls every year. I don't know about Quinn. But it sounds to me like Quinn.
I don't know that we go to the extreme
11 under.
Of pre-flight.
If they don't play golf, why is he on their team?
Pre-flight just yet. That's just my opinion. Okay, seems extreme.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. We're not.
I think you start with the cow cutter.
First of all, it would be awesome to have a pre-flight.
Totally agree.
But this isn't it. No, I think we're on. And like, you cannot sell choice the way we sell choice.
No.
And
here's my thought. What if you do this? You're three man. Pre-flight your freeman. You're three man.
Yes.
I agree. Start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think pre-flight tournaments are fun as hell.
They are.
I just don't know that the Mosswood four-man is the place to start that.
Yeah, and also, I don't know of any pre-flight four-man tournaments, and I think that would be so difficult to do.
It is.
But
have you heard the fucking four man that go 3 over 13 under?
Right. I mean that.
You know what I mean.
So that was not my team. For those of you listening in,
if we're going to keep, we got to get rid of choice.
I think you start there and you get rid of that.
We just witnessed a Calcutta in Bolivar that went $70,000 in their Calcutta, and I guarantee you they did not sell choice every time.
I can't imagine you would have, right, and made that much
money. No, it's impossible. So, I mean, let's go learn from the guys who are doing it and doing it at a very, you know, successful level is what we'll call it. Let's go do it that way.
And we got to earn back some people into the Calcutta. We're at a point now where we had probably more than 10 people that used to be avid bidders in the Calcutta that have just basically boycotted.
Yeah.
And we got to do something.
Our big players are out at the moment. They are.
Yeah. And if I go up there, I'm buying an A flight or a championship team. That's it. I mean, because I got a ball the whole way. And B and C can play the game of going back and forth. And it hurt, too, this year. Let's don't forget the 9 holes on Saturday hurt the spread.
It was huge.
It hurt the spread. It's still the same issues are out there, but it hurt the spread. And it made it to where you couldn't. It used to be in the past where a C flight team could set themselves up. I've heard of teams doing this. Where they could win some tournament and some Calcutta money was impossible this year.
So, okay. So, we were talking. We're getting ready to do a 3-man. Where you're going to play. We're going to play 9 holes and then flight it, right?
Right.
So, it was mentioned a while back when we were standing around at the 4-man. You play your 18 holes on Sunday or on Saturday. No team knows where they're going to be. You flight it off of 9 random holes.
Yeah.
What you're going to have is you're going to have teams that are still trying to win that skin money. They're still trying to get the ones that are out there to get, and they're going to put down their good score because they want to win that skin money. But they don't know where they're going to be at because it's going to be.
You can't write down 18 bogeys.
Right.
I mean, I guess you could. But my team wouldn't do that.
But you're going to want that skin money.
I don't think it changes as much as you think because what ends up happening is. Yeah, maybe you get the 3 birdies that, or the 2 birdies that they pick. Because what you see, if you know,
I don't,
someone that has been in that room and looked through the scores, what you see a lot is, yeah, if you eagle, you're going to put that down. You hole out, you're going to put that down.
Yeah.
But birdies are never any good.
When you put that down.
So you put a birdie on 2 and 8 and a bogey on 9 and you shoot 1 under.
Or yeah, you're taking a risk.
Or you par everything and bogey 9
what,
and you shoot
1. What if we... What if we struggle on the first day like we do? I mean, we go out there and grind to shoot 2 over. What do you do there?
Fuck off.
Quit that fuck the hell out of the studio. Get that fucking grant.
Wrong crowd, dude.
Yeah.
You struggle just like we struggle with. All right.
I mean, there's a lot of.
I just thought I'd throw this out.
Well, you know what? I love the idea because that actually gives me a chance to play an A flight or possibly even B flight. We picked the exact right 9 holes, you know?
Yeah.
And this year, maybe, but not every year.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, there's a lot of, like, pre-flighting sounds great. Like, I would love to come out and play balls to the wall for 36 holes.
Yeah.
And there's some, I mean, one of the things that's talked is you could even do a 2-day Calcutta. You could do a Friday Calcutta and a Saturday Calcutta. But again, flighting 4-man teams.
It
two,
is.
Two issues I see is one, you have to pre-flight 4 people, and 2 is you've filled this tournament up every year, and do you want to pre-flight and lose, have the issue of possibly losing teams?
Well, you got one
do
team.
Do you think you'll lose teams?
You got one team that's not coming back anyways.
They don't count. But do you really think you'll lose teams?
I don't know. I mean, one of them deals that, like.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to test it and find out.
I mean, it seems like, and I don't know anything other than
I don't know
on the street, but it seems like every year it's like there's teams in waiting that want to play, but can't. So it seems like filling is always super easy. But
yeah, I'm
on the outside.
I understand, but
here's my thing with it:
you don't want to be the person that makes a suggestion that kills your cash cow.
Mm-hmm. I know. But here's my thing, yep. too. On your teams that have been coming for the past 20 years, them old guys that they legit shoot four under both days, they're not winning money anyway. I get it. They've been coming for 20 years, but they're not going to win money. And we got teams probably on the waiting list that are legit going to shoot 12, 13 under that are going to be in B and C flight anyway not and take their team. Spot. No, not your team, because you all shoot 14, 15 under.
No.
But I'm talking to – so them teams that have been there forever, it just doesn't – we're not – what do we lose? I get it. It's a fun weekend for them, but money-wise, they're not going to win any money, and they show up and know they're not going to win money. Well, now, do I want to run them off? No, I don't, because they've been coming forever.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And here – we said it, right? I don't know that this is the tournament to do it, right? I don't know.
I know, and that's why.
I don't know that there's ever been a format. So let's take some teams that we've seen in the past. Ryan Roy, a golf pro with his in-laws, right? Ryan Seward never plays golf. Cliff Seward, right? Like, where do you put them?
So
like, obviously, there's a championship golfer, and there's B golfers.
An A to B golfer and two C golfers.
So that's an issue. So I think you start somewhere. I think the place to start is the Calca.
Well, okay. The other thing you could do
is the three-man tournament.
In pre-flight, another tournament.
The option is a possibility is if you're going to pre-flight it, let teams declare to an extent, you know, you can't let a C team or a championship go C per se, but you have a Friday Calcutta.
But here's my thing,
too. Here's the deal. With a Friday Calcutta, people want to win money, too. So if I'm a C golfing team and I'm like, man, we're going balls out. We're going to shoot 13. We're going to turn 13, win some Calcutta money, knowing we may get bumped into A.
Yeah, and there has to be some caveats where you get bumped. Yes, you're right. That would be the only way to make it work is kind of a self-declare type thing. Your committee can't be like me and Michael and Knocker and Todd because we don't play all the local tournaments. The committee has to be like Mike and AJ. And like Brian Williams comes back to be on this committee, people that actually play in a ton of not just Mosswood tournaments,
yeah.
So that you get a fair representation, and then you have rules. But again, I don't know. This makes for a fun debate.
Me, Butler, and Baggett went to a three-man in Marceline, and it was pre-flighted. We got an A flight, and everybody knows them two are championship flight golfers, and they were hoping that I would bring them down. So I brought them down, apparently, and they put us in A flight. We go out first day and shoot 12 under. They leave us in A flight, but in Marceline, they have the right, after everybody turns their scores in, they have the right to bump you up into the next flight. The tournament can bump you up if they want to. So they didn't do it. They left us alone.
Where do you remember where you were at after that 12?
We shot 12 under. And
what was like championship? What was in the
championship? I think was 14, 13 or 14.
Leading,
yeah,
probably a few of those.
Yeah, no, I think there was one.
They only got second in both overall after.
So then we played Sunday and we shoot whatever. I don't even remember what we shoot. Anyway, so we go in and we win A flight, but we would have shot second in the whole tournament.
We got second in championship.
We wouldn't have got second in championship. So they told us, they said, just FYI, if one of you three come back, you all are automatically championship flight. And we said, that's fine. We get it. We know how it works. And we'll go back and we'll – I'm assuming that then they'll want to take me. But we'll go back and we'll do the same thing that we did this year.
Yeah.
But that's a possibility to do too. I mean, they didn't do it. They didn't bump us up, but they said, okay, you all won your money last year, so when you all come back, just FYI, if either of the two of you are on the same team, we're bumping your all's ass up.
I went and played in three-man with AJ and Butler, and we just played championship. How come you all didn't do that?
Yeah, same result.
We just, yeah, got second.
All right, boys, we've had fun on Integrate Pod.
True, we have been on this one for a long time. Maybe it's time to shut it down for the night.
One thing I want to say before we're done. AJ, I know our next guest. I played with him at Spirit Hollow. He wants on bad. He's already texted me tonight. Tim Schreg wants on, and he said he doesn't want to be a call-in. Let us know when it's here. He said he listens to everyone. He wants on the pod. Schreg, you're on, buddy.
Yeah. Well, Tim's one of my best friends for a very, very long time. So Yeah, Tim's coming on. He's going to tell us some things about golf that we probably didn't even know that we needed to know. He is, in my mind, the best putter I've ever seen in my entire life. He knows more about golf than all of us sitting around here combined.
That's true.
That's cool. Yeah. He's been coaching college golf since he was in his mid-20s. You know, conference coach of the year when he was still in his 20s. And I think that's pretty impressive while he was working another job. So if we get Tim on, that will be, I think that's pretty big time.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Todd Knocker.
Thank you, boys, for having us. Yeah,
thank you, guys. Thank you. It was fun. Ever have trouble fielding the guest? You know, I mean, I'm just a text away.
Okay.
Two dubs.
Always remember that.
Boys.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys stopping in here, too.
It was always fun to listen.
All right, everybody. We are out, and we'll see you next time.